Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome everyone to the Utah Title and Escrow Commission meeting on March 11th, 2019. We'll take a quick roll call and then start through the agenda. I'm James Swan. Vice Chair is Allison McCoy, who's here. Randy Smart is here. Nancy Branson. David Moore, Perry Babilis. Commissioner Kaiser is here. Randy Overstreet. Reed Stringham. No Michael today. Tracy Klausmeier. And we're missing Steve today. And we've got, we have Adam here as well. So, Adam Martin. We'll go ahead and take a look at the minutes from the prior meeting, and after review, I'll take a motion to approve those minutes.
Randy's here to answer them, otherwise we'll submit it to you for your approval.
Any questions from commissioners on Washington report?
That's great.
Okay. Since we'll address penalties separately, I'll take a motion to adopt the licensing report.
I'll move that.
All in favor of adopting the licensing report? Yeah.
Aye.
Okay. Let's take a look at penalties. Looks like we'll start with the ServiceLink Title Insurance Agency of Utah LLC case.
Yeah, ServiceLink involved some various sets of violations that we that Adam discovered based on a random sampling of files that he reviewed. There were 14 of them, involving someone who processed the escrow piece where the person wasn't licensed in Utah with the subline authority. There were 15 that were processed by a person who hadn't been designated by the company. And then there were all 20 of them involved in escrow office, and a depository institution without an office in Utah. And so we came up with a forfeiture amount. The people also agreed to 24 months of probation. I think the probation is in place because we suspect that although we didn't actually review the hundreds, maybe thousands of files, we suspect that there were probably similar problems in a lot more of those. And so that's why we have the probation component in there as well. James, I think you've got the form necessary up there. If you don't, I've got another copy of it.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. So are there any questions? Adam's here. He did the investigation, and he's here to answer questions, too, if you have any.
Yeah, I had one, and then I'll see if any of the other commissioners have a question. Maybe it's a two-part question. And I guess the first is sort of, it wasn't clear to me from reading this whether they had an office in Utah or have an office in Utah. And then secondly, if they do have an office in Utah, brick and mortar in Utah, was the violation, or at least one of the violations, the fact that the people in the Utah office were not the ones conducting the escrow, and that the escrow was conducted in some other state by people who were not licensed in Utah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understood the facts.
Yeah, they do have an office in Utah. They use their qualifier to issue all the title commitments.
Okay.
issue all the title commands in the random sampling. But I'd like to add that this case has been going on for like 2 years. It was two, if you'll see the date on there, it's really old. Two investigators had it before me and they went a different direction with it. And when the last investigator resigned, I took this case over and went a different direction with it. So the violation that we found, it was initially a complaint where an individual was asked to go with a certain title company when she bought the house and she wanted to use another one. She thought her choice was being restricted. And it turned out it was the seller of the property. She thought she had to pay for title insurance on both sides. So she said, well, you're going to use this title company. And when I looked at that file, I'm like, well, this is someone that's licensed in Minnesota, or I forget the state. I think it was Minnesota in another state. And she did all the closings, and Tim Kruger had nothing to do with the closing. When you pulled the entire file, he didn't even have a conversation. He didn't fund. He didn't do anything. So there were several random samplings that were pulled by two different investigators. And when I got it, we decided to go with the sampling that we had. And so of the 20, 14 were processed by someone other than Tim Kruger. They were unlicensed individual. They were not associated. And all 20 of the random sampling, they were using the master trust account for the master company and didn't use the trust account that they had set up for Utah. So the
they were all employees of the same company?
Yes, the parent company and not a licensed agency here.
Okay. Any other questions?
This isn't the first time this company's been before us, is that correct?
No, they came before. The previous one was five years ago, and that was not escrow. It was back when we had title search, and back then to do the search, you had to have a title search license. But now anyone can do it, basically do a search. But whoever signs that commitment on behalf of the insurer has to have that license type. So that was a previous violation of a different, it's not the same license as you have today. And they did have the violations.
Okay. Any questions?
No questions. I, after we concur this, I want to make comments on it.
And we just to always be clear, we're concurring with the penalty. So there's 20 violations. Well, 20. All 20 files had a problem with them for $7,000. Is that all we can do, or is that?
Yeah. Let me address that. As I've alluded before, I think, to the fact that we're changing the way we're assessing forfeiture amounts, and we're trying to make it more transparent by having a fairly objective way we calculate these things. In this particular case, the way we do it is we take prior violation, we figure out the violation, the amount per violation, and then we double that. And then we use that amount to calculate the forfeiture amount for the pending violation. So in this case, there were the last forfeiture was $100,000, fair amount of money. But there were over 17,000 violations. So that worked out to about $5.70 a violation. We doubled that, which took it up to about $12. And then because they had a prior problem, which you all alluded to earlier, we added another $100 to that amount. And then, so we had about $112 per violation. And then we multiplied that by the number of actual violations here, and that's how we came up with the $7,000.
Thank you, Ray.
Let me just ask a question because I think it came up. What you said, they do have had a trust account in a Utah bank, but were using another trust account, not the one that they...
Yes, they were using the parent okay. company's trust account and not the trust account.
So if you looked at their annual report, they're going to show their Utah bank, not
yes.
their master bank. So
yes. I looked at that. I looked that up in the past. It was the one that they disclosed.
Okay. Thank you for the discussion, the questions. Thanks for the explanation. Let's go ahead and I'll take a motion to concur with the penalty for the case against ServiceLink Title Insurance Agency of Utah LLC.
I move that we concur as written.
Okay.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's move on to the Amrock title case.
Amrock violations were uncovered as a result of an audit, not a contained investigation. So, and we treat those a little bit differently, as I'll explain later, but we essentially had a couple of violations. The first one, their escrow account was in a non-Utah bank. And the second problem was that when they did switch over to Utah Bank, they had the wrong tax ID number on their escrow account. For audit investigations, we've decided that we're going to cap the forfeiture amount simply because we want to encourage people to be forthcoming and present their files so you can help them see the correct way to do things. So in this case, we calculated the forfeiture would have been a lot more than $5,000, but because we decided to cap it at $5,000, we're going to stay at just $5,000 for this month.
Any comments or questions about forfeiture fine proposed in this one?
This is a little bit. I thought the title insurance had to be in the name somewhere.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
That was in a Rule 150. You know. 591-54, it had to have, I think it was in 54 when we converted over to 592. That's kind of gone away with it.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't have to. We kind of like it to have, but okay. I looked that up. I couldn't find it, but yeah, it was an amendment years ago in 591-54.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, we'll go ahead and take a motion to concur with the penalty against Amrock Utah, Inc.
A second.
All in favor of affirming the penalty against Amrock Utah, you can say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Board duties and responsibilities. Eric, do you have anything?
No. Okay.
Let's go on to the report on our 2019 goals, starting with me at ULTA report. I think the simplest way to summarize that is the ULTA has been very busy with the legislative session. So there's been a number of bills that have been addressed at the legislature on a number of topics. Of course, controlled business has been a big one. Remote online motorization, bills dealing with boundary line issues, bills dealing with mechanics lien, of course, taxes on services have most recently been an issue, so they've been very occupied with that, so I don't know what else to say other than that at the moment. So there's another meeting today, and I'm sure that legislation will be the main topic there again, so I'll keep everybody posted as we go forward with that. So they've taken a position on certain bills and not on others, I think they're doing their best to keep the membership involved and informed. So, let's move on to the Real Estate Commission report from Nancy. She's got some exciting news, even multimedia.
Do my best. I didn't bring a speaker, so everyone's quiet. Maybe you'll be able to hear it. They did, their chair, Mr. Musselman, was elected, and so they have a new board member, Rick Southwick. The Senate bill they were most interested in did pass, Senate Bill 140. They have two new investigators on their team, and they have 407 open cases. Yeah, so that was, sorry, I wrote that down just thinking that was a lot. And then Johnny Stewart did send me they just finished their public service announcement. And he just sent it over and said, Commissioner Kaiser is welcome to put it on his website, and I was going to play it for you.
I'd be here.
So I will probably walk over there and put it right here, but see if we can. They hope that it is going to be better received than their last one. I don't remember seeing their last one, but apparently it didn't go over well with the public, so they're hoping that this one will work.
Your real estate agent found you a great new home. Funds are ready to wire to your lender. But are you certain they're going to a legitimate account? Scammers can intercept email and send fake emails posing as your agent, title company, or lender, changing important transaction details. Verify all information received via email by calling the title company or your licensed real estate agent. Learn how to avoid becoming a victim of this common email scam. Log on to realestate.utah.gov to learn more.
We'll get that on our website as well.
Should I just send it to Steve Gooch?
Yeah, send it to Steve.
I'll show it to you.
Thank you, Nancy. Anything else?
That's it.
That's enough. Yeah. That's enough for one day, huh? Let's go ahead and move on down the agenda to other business with a legislative update from Reed on the department's bill. And how
yeah, it passed.
Okay.
I guess there's no big surprise, but it did. We made it out, and so we're happy. So we'll start the new scheduling in May.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll take effect before our May meeting or not. Maybe it won't.
Maybe it'll be close, won't it?
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
So May 13th, what date was on that?
I think it's the 14th.
June.
So we will start off.
But that's about the time the new commissioners will come with.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Appreciate working with the department on the changes to the meeting.
Oh, you too. You guys were great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we'll save this last topic for last. The hot topic on here is Senate Bill 121. Gave some thought to how this bill, we might address this bill in this meeting. I think it's obviously been a very hot topic in the title insurance world over the last several weeks in the session. By way of quick update for those of you that may not have been following it as closely, the House Committee, Business and Labor, heard this bill on Thursday afternoon about 4 o'clock and passed 10-2 out of committee. They approved the first substitute. There was some discussion in the committee meeting and I think perhaps since about potential a few minor tweaks to make sure that the 70-30 split of control business included all types of transactions and not just transactions that relate to federally related mortgages in them. That's kind of where things stand now. I haven't heard a whole lot since Thursday about where that stands. I looked right before I came in this morning and on the website, and still the first substitute was what was posted, so I haven't seen any changes to that since. So we'll see how that goes this week in the final week of the session. I guess for purposes of this meeting, if there's anybody who would like to make any comments, whether on the commission or in the public, you're welcome to do so. I guess I would just say to sort of keep in mind the general purpose of this body, which is to give advice to and work with the Department of Insurance and to pass rules. So this body is not one that has, this particular commission is not one that has influence over the bill itself or making changes to it. But if there are any questions for us, to the extent that we're able to provide some answers, we're happy to do so. And I know the commissioner and Reed are here also to answer any questions from the department's perspective. I know there was a robust discussion at the last session of this meeting, and we all kind of didn't know what that first substitute was going to look like, and now we do. I guess one final comment before I open it up is that it appears, as I read the first substitute of this bill, that the Department of Insurance will remain the regulator for all title insurance companies, including any new affiliated businesses that might be formed, assuming this law, this bill is passed into law. And with the one exception being that the Division of Real Estate will govern simply the affiliated business portion of, regulate that portion of the law, assuming it becomes law. So that was something that was unclear last time when we met, and now we know that the Department of Insurance will retain regulatory oversight over all title companies, even new potentially affiliated businesses. Which means that they would come under the purview of all of our regulations in 592 and all of the insurance code. So with that in mind, I'll open it up to any comments or questions, we'll kind of go from there.
So just the process from here, is it still needs to go through the Senate committee and through the Senate, or just straight through the Senate?
It's already been passed through the Senate. The first substitute was passed in the Senate, so now I think the only thing that remains is to be passed in the, on the House floor, assuming there aren't any changes that would require it to go back.
Is it on the calendar? Is it on the schedule at all?
I did not look.
It's currently on the floor of the House, so it's on, it's, when I went this morning, it's like, it's the third reading Senate calendar, and so it's, maybe 8-10 down on the list.
I heard that there was a push to push through a lot of the legislation that's hanging out there earlier this week, so I expect to see something.
I should know this. When is the last day?
Thursday.
Thursday is the last day, and the process it will go through is it will go through the House today. The House and Senate are in committee meetings until 4 o'clock. It appears that those are going to be the last committee hearings of the session, and then they're going into general session in the House and Senate at 4 o'clock this afternoon, as long as needed. So they'll probably go 5 hours. I bet they go till 9 o'clock, probably go 4 or 5 hours tonight. And then they have a process of what they call wiping the board, and then leadership in both bodies prioritize bills. This one is already, they've already wiped the board once, and this bill was prioritized to go on to the, so it will get passed tonight, most likely. Judging from the discussion that they had in the House, there's a lot of support for it on the committee, and it will have to go back to the Senate to be concurred with, and then it'll go to the governor for a signature. So that's the process that I think is left with it. It's out for discussion in the House, and then because the Senate hasn't looked at it in the form it's in, then it will go back to the Senate and have to be approved for concurrence with what happened in the House. And that will happen probably tonight or tomorrow, I suspect tomorrow, but I don't know. That depends upon how fast they move things to really happen. But what I see left for the bill.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And I just might add, it was less intrusive to our department than I thought it was going to be. It's very intrusive to you, a question that is different, but I didn't know what it was going to come out with, how, you know, I have discussion with Senator Hemmert on a couple of occasions, anyways. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Any other questions from the commissioners? Any from the public? Frank?
Well, one question: the regulation of the affiliated business by the Department of Real Estate. How is that going to conflict with the department? How is the Department of Insurance going to interact with that? Are they going to, I mean, that seems to me that's part of the regulation of the Department of Insurance, and now we're going to have the Department of Real Estate overlooking these affiliated businesses. That seems a little odd.
Green, do you want to just address that for a minute? Because we feel that the bill would only address a certain aspect of regulation. The first one, I had discussions, I thought it was going to be all of the business that was done by the affiliated agencies, which could even get into licensing, everything associated with it, but it didn't go that deep.
The real estate commission division only addresses really the three aspects that are regulated in Senate Bill 121, which are the 70-30 split, the minimum capital requirement, and the disclosures. Those three things, the Division of Real Estate will regulate. Everything else involving a title company, title agency, will be regulated by the insurance department. So while there is dual regulation, there's not overlapping regulation in the sense that we're regulating the same kinds of subject matter. James, is that...
Yeah,
is that consistent with your understanding? Yeah.
So an agency would have to do a controlled business report rather than to the insurance department, to the Department of Real Estate.
Right.
And that would be separate.
That's separate, yeah.
We'll still have to do our reports to the department.
Yes.
Insurance.
Yes.
Yeah. I had initially thought it was going to be any business that was transacted by the affiliated would be regulated by Johnny Stewart and his team, and that was just very dysfunctional. When I heard that, I went to the governor's chief and said, "This is just dysfunctional. If this is where you need to be, you know." And they agreed with me. They said, "I mean, we're implementing across the government in Utah measures to find areas that we can improve and become better at processing workflows, and to have two different entities regulating made no sense at all." And so I was happy to see that when they came out with this final product, that it really only affected the three areas within the bill. So it wasn't nearly as intrusive as I thought it was going to be when I first heard the discussions of where it was going. So,
thank you. Any other questions?
I did want to have, I'd like the one question, you know, you brought it up, you know, as far as regulating. It appeared to me that, it, you know, as far as the controlled business report, it says the title agent shall report to the Division of Real Estate. And I think maybe that's something we got to clarify, is am I, as a title company, having to report to the Division of Real Estate? If I have no controlled business, do I still have to do my controlled business report? You know, that's a requirement of the division, you know, the department. How, you know, do we have to have reports, you know, are we going to be required to report to the Division of Real Estate any controlled business, even if it's zero?
Well, we probably have to look at that, but as I understand it, the controlled business statute is gone. And if it's gone, then any requirement in the rule that says you have to report that would also probably not be valid.
Well, then we need to amend our rule.
Yeah, and there's going to be some cleanup work that needs to be done. And we anticipate doing that as soon as the bill passes, which we assume it will.
I'm just saying, here in the proposed, section 1104 annual affiliated business report, before March 1st each year, each title licensee shall submit a report to the division that contains the following, for the following year, you know, what their associated business is. So
yeah,
it appears that every licensee is going to have to do a controlled business report to the Division of Real Estate. Says each licensee.
It does. You're right.
Is licensee defined?
Yes, it is.
Well, it'd be a simple report. No.
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 Representation.
Control business.
The real estate division. No.
No, maybe it's not defined.
It's not defined in this?
In this. I think it's defined in 301, 1301.
But if it's in...
I'm just saying, I think that's a clarification, you know, because it says each type of licensee, is that each individual or each, because we have two distinctions. We have individual licensees and we have company licensees. And it says each licensee, so...
Title licensee is a defined term in the bill, subparagraph 11.
You know what line that is?
Yeah, 163.
Yeah, it just refers to 2402.
Yeah, it's the 402 definition. Title licensee means a person licensed under this title as an agency title insurance producer with a title insurance line of authority. B, an individual title insurance producer with a general title insurance line of authority, specific category of authority for title insurance, and a title insurance adjuster. If we have any of those. So I think it's...
Yeah, that's something that real estate will need to deal with, I think.
I get concerned that, you know, everybody we're now, you know, everybody have to file a report with Division of Real Estate. You know.
Yeah.
And then, or we... And have any kind of representation there, or will this board have any effect there? You've got a report, and if somebody doesn't meet the requirements of reporting, do we have any representation there?
Yeah, see, we're not licensed by the division. So what authority do they have over us?
The statute, the proposed bill gives them authority to take punitive actions against title licensees.
But only the affiliated. My understanding is that they only have authority with the affiliated branch, so that if you are real estate who has bought a title, or a title that has gone out and bought a real estate company, they become affiliated, and then the real estate division has the ability to go in these three areas regularly. If you are a title agency that is not affiliated in any sense, then the insurance department has complete regulatory authority, the way it was explained to me. So we'll just need to go in and look at that and Perry and Reed give me some counsel and advice. But my sense would be that if you are just the title licensee and that's all you're doing, but it's not affiliated with the real estate group in any, I don't know if you need to file a form, but maybe you do. We'll take a closer look at that and see what we get into the minutiae of this bill, what it and the details for us to do. But,
Adam?
I just had a question for Commissioner real quick. Because you kind of said if we don't have that affiliated business that we aren't going to be regulated by them at all or whatever, but they still have, there's still over regulation for the capital requirement, and I think there's one other thing in that, the 121, right? So we are still regulated there, and as far as the controlled business report, and we fill that out every year and put 0 or 1% of those, because in all reality, every title company has a little bit of affiliated business by them directing their own business or their employee. I mean, it's less than 1% in most cases, but it's there, you know. And so, just my understanding is that they still have that regulatory authority over us for capital, whether or not we're affiliated. And I swear there's one other thing that you're regulated over, but I forgot what it is.
Yeah, you're, I think you're right. Like David said, in 1104, every title licensee has to file a report, and the report deals with business and sufficient capital and net worth, and any other information required by the division, whatever that means. So there is a report, but I think, like you said, it probably wouldn't be that much big a deal to fill out unless you're an affiliated entity.
So So the thing of this quote regulation, the capitalization, though, they take over whether or not we have the capitalization requirements met.
That's true.
Generally speaking, they're governing the application of RESPA and capital splits on the we're talking about. They're all pieces of RESPA. So maybe an easier way to think about it is the part that they are overseeing and regulating is the governance of the application of RESPA as implemented in state law.
Yeah.
And they do have rulemaking authority is granted online 170 through 172 to the Division of Real Estate for regulating this. So they have some rulemaking authority of their own to implement this, it looks like. So.
James. So does that mean the report that agents have been sending to the department each year, that will go away? Is there an actual report, or is that just part of their annual?
There are two reports.
Yeah.
And so one of them will go away to Department of Insurance, and it will go to the Department of Real Estate, per se?
We won't be getting any controlled business reports.
Like you have in the past?
Yeah.
Because controlled business is repealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want me to take to their meeting next week? I'm sure this will be part of the topic. Do you just want me to listen?
Good question. I would say that it's my instinct is that it's probably too early. We're all speculating, and my guess is they're going to be speculating too. So I mean, it doesn't hurt to have the conversation like we're having. I think this is where we're just kind of starting down this road, and I think that's why it's good to have this conversation, but we can only go so far because one hasn't passed, and number two, I think that we're going to find, as David has brought up and many of you have brought up, that there are a lot of questions even after it passes. As we ease our way into this new way of doing things, I think we're going to find imperfections and
a correction bill next
and,
year.
Yeah, I think we're going to find so that it wasn't perfect, is my guess. So. Adam?
Well, and I just kind of want to go back to Allison's comments. You know, while we go through this transition, because I agree it's going to be looking way different a month and a half from now than it is even next week. But I think we need to monitor exactly what Allison was talking about as far as how the two departments work together. Because I don't know the real estate division's intent. But I would imagine that they don't really intend to go do audits for all title companies to see if there's controlled business. They have 400 claims they're already investigating. But whereas the insurance department is already doing those, and I think that the board we have right up there, especially with Nancy going to the real estate commission all the time, it's a perfect kind of bridge, if you will, to get information over there if needed. I just kind of worry that people are only going to go based off complaints, and in all reality, there's a lot of people that don't want to file complaints on each other. It's kind of what the industry kind of looks like at times. And so I just kind of would like us to would hope that we'd monitor kind of how these two departments work together, because I think there is probably some kind of way that could happen.
That's a great point.
I agree with what you're saying, and my concern is when I go to their meetings, they are not like this. There is open dialogue like this. At theirs, at the very beginning, they go, is there any public comment? And there never is. And they go, okay. And the opportunity to say anything is over at that point.
See, and then, maybe that's what we need to address.
And then the discussion is just between them, but I can't say anything. And when they ask for public comment, it is at the beginning before they've even started anything. So it would be really hard to go, yeah, I'd like to talk about this, and they go, well, we'll talk about that later. And at that point, they don't really get the public. So.
And so maybe this is one of those things that we can address and try to figure out how we can get the ear of real estate with the insurance department getting their ear.
And the reason I asked is, if we do at least want to be able to say something, well, I do have a relationship with Johnny Stewart now. He and I have gone back and forth on this, so maybe I can reach out to him and say, if I do want to make a comment, is it possible that I can be included later on? And so maybe that, if that's okay with the commissioner or anyone, at least. It's really, I love the way the meetings work here with the dialogue, but there, you just really kind of say, so.
The other thing that I'll mention here is I look at lines 180 to 181. There's a ramp up period even for the enforcement of the 70-30 split to 2021. So, you know, there's not going to be a lot. I guess that's what I'm saying is that there's not going to be a lot of enforcements and things like that between now and 2021. So there's a, I don't know if we'll even have answers, you know, in May or June. I think that we'll be in that ramp up period. So there's a period of time where it's going to, you know, to your point, Adam, I think that's good. I think we do need to monitor that, but I don't know how much, it's a question in my mind, how much there is going to be to monitor until the ramp-up periods.
What, I don't know if that makes sense. I thought the ramp-up period was just for the capital.
There is a ramp-up period for the capital as well, but if you look at line 180, so they violate Section 8 of RESPA for purposes of state law if they don't have the capital. If A, B is more than 70% of title licensee's annual title insurance affiliated business honor the later of 2 years after the title licensee begins affiliated arrangement or June 1st, 2021. So there's a ramp-up period both for the capital for existing companies. For new affiliated businesses, it's, I believe the 100,000 cap requirement is right away, and then there's an adjustment period after that. But so there will be some enforcement, I suppose, at the beginning, but there's kind of a ramp-up period for a lot of the enforcement, so we'll have to see how that works out.
Since we're now in bed with the real estate department, wouldn't it be wise to have a representative of the title industry on their board? Is that asking too much, or is that, we have a member of the public here.
And a general public,
yeah.
Right, but a title person would require legislation.
I thought we had a First American person there, Marie.
Wouldn't that be
in there to be general public? She might be a First American, she's general public.
So, good. Dot ring. But that's something that you, like David said, that would have to be sort of addressed going forward in a future legislative session.
James, just a comment. I think, you know, we've been very lucky to have controlled business restrictions up until now. But as we've all seen, it's gone away, or it looks like it's going away. But we still have a lot of controls, and there's a lot of things that I think, you know, this next year, you know, like all title licensees, maybe the amendment next year is, you know, all affiliated title licensees have to file a report. You know, there's going to be some cleanup. But I says we have a lot of control, even over the affiliates. I mean, they talk about one-stop shopping. Well, we have a rule that says you can't cohabitate.
You know, or co-advertise.
Huh?
Or co-advertise.
Co-advertise or do joint functions. We have the unfair inducement rule. We have good funds rules. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions. These companies have, you know, you're going to see two types. You're going to see the new companies formed, and you're going to see the, you know, companies that are going to sell off part of their interest to an affiliated, you know, situation. In both cases, they're all going to be regulated by the department through the rules and regulations, you know, that are established by this board. We're going to be, you know, I think, you know, it's going to take a year or two to resolve all the conflicts. I think, you know, we just have to keep our communications open with the division saying, you know, maybe next year we need to do some amending. Maybe we adjust how, you know, we're doing this and see how it goes. Because it's going to be a, you know, I think it's still, I think we're, you know, lucky that we have all the regulations in place that we do have.
Well, thank you everybody for the comments. We appreciate that, Adam.
Just want to remind everybody that the annual control business reports are due by April 30th. I've only received like four. So there's going to be a lot coming in. Even though this is all going on, we're taking care of 2018, so control business still has to be reported. And I'd like to piggyback on what you said. I have been over to their meetings before, and it is extremely controlled. you sit on the side and you just really don't say anything. So it is very controlled. This is a better open forum.
It's very interesting. They go any public comment, they're not even looking up.
Okay, well, with all that said, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.